Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Back to work.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's been so much fretting about the housing market and the credit market and the stock market. But one thing that has remained strong is the job market. The latest surveys do suggest people are starting to worry about their job security. But is that concern justified? Bob Moon starts off 2008 looking at that.
It's a tough job, but somebody's been able to do it, find a bright spot in the employment outlook for the new year, that is. Job placement expert John Challenger says despite all the grim news from the financial sector and a few other stubborn spots, things could be worse.
We've seen job growth slow down in the second half of 2007, especially led by Wall Street and the credit woes, the housing market and automotive, but many areas of the economy are really doing quite well and should continue.
Challenger says some of those areas where workers are most in demand include the healthcare and energy sectors, and he says there's a strong need for workers who speak other languages and can help U.S. businesses abroad. He points out new jobs are still being created, just not quite as fast.
Job growth has been averaging about 100,000 new jobs every month recently. All in all, things are just not that bad.
Challenger concedes he's got his fingers crossed the subprime crisis doesn't worsen. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Wall Street ended 2007 with losses, but stocks did make gains for the year. The Dow starts 2008 at 13,264. That's 6% ahead of a year ago. The NASDAQ is almost 10% higher at 2652. The S&P 500 begins at 1468. It gained less than 4% for last year. In Europe today, shares are mixed so far. If you've watched any cable news lately, it seems like the whole country has moved to Iowa. The presidential candidates have spent so much time there, they might be eligible to vote for themselves in the caucuses. All that attention has been a big boon for Iowa's economy. Jeremy Hobson has more.
Greg Edwards is president of the Greater Des Moines Convention and Visitors Bureau. He says the caucuses bring in $25 million to Iowa's biggest city and an additional $75 million to the rest of the state.
This is definitely a big shot in the arm for the economy, especially coming in over the holidays.
He says all the reporters and campaign staff in the state have been eating, sleeping, and perhaps for the first time in caucus history, doing their holiday shopping at Iowa businesses. When the political circus departs for New Hampshire, Iowans will notice, he says, but business as usual ain't so bad.
Des Moines, for the most part, in January, February, that's the times that we host a lot of the agriculture-type conventions in town.
Dave Panther, who runs the Hamburg Inn Diner in Iowa City, agrees. Sure, he says candidate visits have helped offset slow winter sales.
We've had John McCain and John Edwards, Mitt Romney.
But he says Iowa's football season is still his busiest time of year. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
I was just thinking the other day, what I'd really like to watch on the internet is amateur videos of people dancing. And holy parachute pants, there is one. This month, MC Hammer is launching a site called DanceJam.com. Hammer and his crew are hoping to take some business away from YouTube. The site will hold competitions and make its money from ads. You can't touch that.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant making, employee giving, and volunteerism. Online at Medtronic.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
If you traveled over the holiday season, I'm guessing your patience was tested at least once, and that someone thanked you for your patience, even if you were just hanging by a thread. Commentator Robert Reich says he never wants to be thanked for that again.
After what seemed like an interminable wait on the phone the other day for a service representative to help me fix a holiday gift that wouldn't work, I heard the dreaded words, "Thank you for your patience." I heard them again after sitting on a plane that was stuck on a runway for over an hour, "Thank you for your patience." Again, at a hotel that had misplaced my luggage. Thank you for your patience. A few days ago, at a restaurant where I thought I had made a reservation, but somehow didn't have a table. Thank you for your patience. Again and again, it seems more this past holiday season than ever before, I'm being thanked for giving something I did not give and I don't have, especially at that particular moment, and that's patience. What's galling is that the thankers know I have no choice in the matter. Whether it's on the phone or on a runway or in a lobby or in a restaurant, I'm stuck because I've already committed myself to their service, flight, hotel room, or table for two. What I'm really being thanked for is not going ballistic. The old saw says time is money. But now that most of us are working and commuting longer hours than ever, our time is worth more than money. Time is the most precious thing we have. And if the market worked like it does in textbooks, we'd penalize companies. We'd pay them for their product, and we'd bill them for our time. That way, they'd have an incentive to staff up when they need to, or devise backup systems for when something goes wrong, or give customers better notice of delays, even though these steps might cost them more. But the market isn't working because we rarely connect the price we pay for something with the time we lose waiting for it. Maybe there should be a truth in labeling law requiring companies to disclose not just prices, but also average waiting times. Of course, given how backed up Congress is, we'll be waiting for years. In the meantime, I'd settle for a law banning the use of the phrase, "Thank you for your patience."
Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. His new book is called Super Capitalism. Share your thoughts with us and with other listeners at the Marketplace Confessional. It's online at marketplace.org. The latest stats show that online sales for the holidays are up 19%, but that growth has slowed from a year ago. Figures show that from November 1st to December 27th, online sales grew to $28 billion. However, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, online sales rose 21% this year compared to 26% last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.